The Anton Savage Show with Kiries.ie on News Talk.
It is News Talk. It is the Anton Savage Show. As I said, we were working our way through Stephen Donnelly's dip in the water through to Pete Weatherburn's extensive cycling. We've now hit peak in the form of David Flynn, them being the co-founders.
Peak fitness of the happy pair.
And again, they proved me right in this. What time were you in the water this morning, Nats?
Sunrise. We swim every day at sunrise, and it's great in winter in that it could be like 8:40, but in summer it hits the peak at 4:57. That's the solstice, but today it was 5:10. So it's early.
Are we that close to the solstice? We're only about 13 minutes off the solstice.
Well, as it gets closer, it gets like maybe a minute earlier every day.
It seems, because the Grand Isle stretch only seems to have started.
Grand Isle stretch has been flying. Like, we're pushing nearly 10 o'clock now. Sure, it's great.
So you were in the Irish Sea at 5:10 this morning.
Yeah, it's great. There's Linda and Daddy, who are both in their 70s. They're amazing. We swim with them pretty much every day of the year.
That means that you are out there before the sauna is open, does it?
They usually light it around 5:36, so they'll be ready for
you're
seven.
You're not able to scarper up and get warm. You actually have to muscle through it.
I did make tea today, but there's something lovely about the early hours like that. You feel like the town's yours, and it's slightly crazy, but you know, there's something
beautiful.
Well,
it's crazy to 90% of people, but it's a nice ritual to do. I've got my own mic, thanks, Steve.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, this is the interesting thing. Stephen came in and grabbed the microphone off the mic stand. You're giving it the full Jon Bon Jovi
there you
approach.
Are. I'm going to finish with a big number.
Now, we are in the home of the genesis of the Happy Pair empire, because what started out as a cafe is now a significant retail business. You go into most supermarkets around the town, there are the soups, there are the hummuses, there are everything else. It started as a cafe.
Yeah, 20 years ago. We'll be 20 years in business this November, so it's been a long time. We started when we were 24, and now we're 44, so.
You were only 24
and
when the business started.
Two idealistic dreamers to create a business to change the world, to create a happier, healthier
world.
Well,
the business to get people to eat more veg, that's always been the crux behind it.
So when did it go from the cafe to the retail supply? Because that's a big leap.
I'd say little by little, like, it's been a 20-year journey, and I guess looking back, you can kind of go, there was a few pivotal moments, like social media obviously helped in lots of different ways.
And then
Probably 12 years ago, we started with Super Value Food Academy, and that was a program to help people to start supplying, and that kind of led to us, you know, forming a wonderful relationship.
And
with
I remember when we first started that, our brother Dara was the one doing that, and Dara was kind of getting into bed with Super Value. I was like, you don't do that. Like, they're the enemy. The supermarket,
the man.
And it turns out they're incredible, and they've been really supportive and helped us. Now we're in maybe 800 stores around the country,
and
which
I
is
assume
amazing.
Therefore that the core of the, in terms of scale, the core of the business is the supermarket supply, and the cafe is the cream.
Yeah, like the business bit, we've got a digital part of the business as well, which is, you know, we've got an app and we've got a membership and we do courses. We call it our recipe club. And then we do other kind of brand-based stuff. And then we've got the products bit of the business, which are the main.
And a farm. This is our favorite bit.
This is the creme de la creme. You say creme, this is the best bit. We started a 4-acre regenerative farm.
What does regenerative mean, Dave?
Grasping organic.
I'll be outside if you need me.
So regenerative is about you're regenerating the soil. So you're growing you're growing for nutrition as opposed to growing for yield and aesthetics. You know the way you go into a supermarket and most people are growing for yield, obviously, super important, and how it looks
big and pretty.
So whereas we're growing for nutrient
big and pretty
density,
exactly,
we're going for nutrient density. So it's creating the environment for the product.
And what are you
produce
growing?
To thrive vegetables.
Yeah, but specifically what kind
so
of
this, this time of year we've probably got about 30 different veg. We learned first new potatoes last weekend, which were amazing. I sent some home with Joe Wicks. He was visiting, sent him home, texted me, said it's the best potatoes he's ever had.
My God, you guys and Joe Wicks in the one room, that must be something to witness. That's a lot of energy.
Joe's a lot of energy. Joe's actually quite he's a calm gentleman. Like, his persona is this big character. And when you hang out with Joe, he's a kind gentleman.
He made an absolute fortune off that business as well. I mean, he works hard.
He's deeply committed.
I'm not begrudging him, but it's a hell of a success.
Yeah.
So does that mean that you have to do crop rotation because you can't rely on nitrates?
Well, we'd normally just manage the soil in terms of micronutrients, in terms of aeration, in terms of water, and some of the basic principles that once you create the perfect environment, the produce will thrive. And an aspect of crop rotation, but we also cover crop. Cover crop are super important so that you're keeping the carbon in the soil and you're making sure that it's not tilled.
And I'm eager to go. So it's a no dig method. So we don't break up the soil, because you ever heard of the mycelium network?
Oh, this is the bottom bit of a mushroom.
The micro
talks to itself.
So in essence, think of it as nature's data cable. So in essence, what it is, it's like these small little white hairs that you might see in the soil. And what it is, it enables plants to communicate and share nutrients. And when you till the soil or break up the soil, you're breaking up the plant's ability to share nutrients.
I seem to remember somewhere that the largest living organism in the world is mycelium.
It's a fungi over in Oregon, isn't it? It's like miles.
By doing no dig, it means you don't break this up. So you get typically greater yield, more nutrient density, and just healthier.
Yeah. Now, so anyway, we're having fun.
Talk to me about one of the things that has happened in the vegan and vegetarian world in the recent years has been the capacity for plant-based products to mimic meat.
Yeah.
Is that cheating?
I think it's more transition. Like, I think it's had its day in the sun to some degree, because there's many consumers are going, well, I don't think it's healthy, and it doesn't, you know, that I think it's our message is all about eating more whole foods, like more
veg. But am I an impure vegan if I eat one of those fakey burgers?
It's not about vegan and it's not about vegetarian. That's what I would say first and foremost. Those words.
Well, I can't go into your cafe and get a sausage, can I?
We make our own sausages.
Yeah, but yes. They're veggie sausages.
They're not pig sausages. They're made with vegetables.
But that's what I mean. Is that okay or is that cheating?
I think there's absolutely a place for all. Food is neither, you know, moral or immoral. There's healthier choice and less healthier choice.
Because you see, I'm intrigued by this because I have talked to you before where you both talked about being the give me a large steak and a rake of pints back in the day before you had your road to Damascus conversion. And I was therefore wondering, do you go, oh, I'd love a vegan burger. Oh, I'd love one. It's like meat.
Oh, sometimes I'd have, like, I've had our sausage sandwiches loads of times in the cafe, or my kids like vegan sausage.
We cooked
sometimes.
A beautiful, so a friend in Ashford Mushrooms cooks it. Do you ever try a lion's mane mushroom? So it's this great big mushroom that's kind of associated with helping you create more neural pathways. So helping with kind of cognition and your kind of
brain health.
You compress it and you can literally make it where it looks like steak. It's remarkable. And we kind of marinate in kind of beetroot powder with kind of miso and various different ingredients. And it's magnificent.
Miso is a wonderful little fella when it comes to vegetables. Right. You get a bunch of umami in there.
You're
well versed in all this, Anton.
I, many years ago, used to work in a restaurant and they did a vegetarian burger, which was a portobello mushroom cap and a slice of aubergine.
Okay, nice.
I'd worry that they wouldn't cook the aubergine properly, because a lot of people don't like aubergine because they think it's plasticky and it's rubbery, whereas if you cook it properly, it should be buttery and creamy and melt in your mouth. I worry in that context that they mightn't cook the aubergine. That would be my concern.
Where do you stand on salting your aubergines?
I wouldn't salt them before, because they would have typically grown them where they, now they've kind of bred out that aspect where you need to salt them. So I don't.
They used to be
they're picked. But even if you think they were originally called eggplants because they were little, small, white, little vegetables that looked about the size of an egg. And over the years, they've been bred to be that aubergine colour, that purple colour.
Yeah, in America, they're called eggplant.
No, but I never knew that was the genesis of it, they look nothing like an egg. No plant looks like an egg.
If you get into the kind of, like we were recently in Turkey, and you'll see small white eggplants that look like eggs. Yeah,
hence the name.
This is a bit like the carrot, because the carrot in its native environment...
It's purple.
Yeah.
In Egypt,
and white. There's lots of different varieties, like this white ones and purples.
I love this.
And
then this is a good vegetable.
Then it was through selective breeding that supposedly it's rooted back to William of Orange back in Holland, where they bred them to be orange in honor of William of Orange.
No.
To do with supposedly to celebrate, like it was some association with Holland and the Netherlands and
carrots are unionist, basically.
Well, these are stories and myths. These are vegetable myths.
Never knew. There's a whole lot of opinions rethinking the vegetable shopping for the week. So in a question I never thought I would ask, what's your favourite vegetable?
My goodness.
I'd even go, can I go with a fruit here right now? Or maybe I'll go with a vegetable.
While you're thinking, I'm going to come in on this.
I'm
thinking about it now. I was going to go, we flew back from Greece last night, and there's loads of these wild fig trees growing everywhere. And figs have some magical association with me. When they're in season and they're just, it's like Mother Nature just sharing her bounty with you. excuse me, I'm getting really excited. But like, you can get ones that are kind of drying on the trees. They're like, the sugar content is really higher. You can get ones that's slightly kind of under ripe, and it's just such a joy to go up there and climb a tree and pick figs and connect in with your inner primate.
Do you not feel guilt for supporting the most cruel tree in the world?
Ooh, are you going back to wasps and how they pollinate, or Adam and Eve?
Have you seen what figs do to other trees?
No. Well, oh. I know in Ireland.
Wait, Anton.
I was going to say in Ireland, you want to keep it like in our garden, we have it contained in a pot because its roots, it's a bit like mint. It just spreads massively like figs really do.
No, Anton's got a good one here. He's
the fig tree. Some of the ficus species, they start in the top.
Fike, look at this.
They start in the top, they drop roots down, right?
Okay.
They get the roots going and they then begin to encircle the tree that they live around and they will strangle it to death. Wow. And in big figs, there will actually be the hole through the middle of the tree where the tree used to live and it rots out and dies.
Wow. I love figs anyway.
That is the
favorite fruit. But I love it. My favorite fruit. And we are fruteros.
Yeah, we love fruit, so yeah.
And your favorite veg, just while we're playing this game.
Well, I do like a mushroom, but I'm not sure. Can I go one other thing?
If you were to describe yourself as a fruit or veg, what would you pick and why? And I'm not. And this isn't like, you know, a dating question. I'm just curious. I feel like we're on blind date here.
I feel like I'm a courgette.
Oh,
so not a cucumber, but a courgette.
Slightly phallic, firm, green.
Maybe a spring one.
Quite juicy.
Now,
moving on.
Lovely spring ones.
I think Anton's blushing. I think he's blushing.
You just called me phallic and slightly juicy. Of course I'm blushing. So, what's your favorite vegetable?
Okay, I'm going to go with chard. Even though it's bitter and gnarly. Okay, right.
Nobody's favorite vegetable is
chard. I'm going to go with mushroom because like, there's more varieties of mushroom, which is the fruiting body of the fungus, than there are plant-based foods or plant foods. So, like, if you think oyster mushrooms, you think maitake, there's a greater variety of fungus. Like, the mushroom is the fruiting body of the fungus, and there's a greater variety of mushrooms than there are plants. Plant-based foods or even vegetables. Like, there's so many different varieties. And we tend to, for anyone listening who thinks mushrooms, they go flat cap or they go button mushroom or they might go a big wild one as a portobello. But as you go into the kingdom, there's so much variety that brings texture, flavor, just, I love them. Bit of passion there. Too much?
No, you can never have too much passion.
Welcome.
Anything that gets me past being the courgette, I'm okay with.
I'd probably go potatoes or rocket. I'd go one or the other. Like the potato, it's hard to beat in terms of taste. Like it really, in terms of the absolute just experience, they're very, very tasty. And rocket, I really like rocket.
Do you know you can't overcook a mushroom?
You can compress it and it can lose all its moisture.
And it can get dry.
It can get dry and kind of leathery. Like, so I disagree slightly.
Gentlemen, I think you're going to have to reanalyze your views on mushrooms.
But okay, listen, nice, great.
This is good. I haven't had such a detailed vegetable conversation for a while now.
Well, we better draw to a close. We can take it off air hereafter. If you want to see the Happy Pair guys, obviously they are in the middle of Greystones in the cafe where it all started. And of course, they are on 875,000 shelves across the country.
In Supervalue and Centra.
With Happy Pair products. Guys, thank you very much. That is Stephen and Dave Flynn, co-founders of Happy Pair.
The Anton Savage Show with Kiri's.ie on News Talk.
You've got enough on your plate. Mundane meals shouldn't be one of them. Get an endless variety of the freshest, best-tasting food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door with Cook Unity, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Take a load off and leave your meal prep to Cook Unity. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered straight to your door. Go to cookunity.com/podcast or enter code podcast before checkout for 50% off your first week.